me for just a moment. As we read the text for today, I want you to follow along as I read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. If you don't have your Bibles or have a Bible with you, we've got the text on the screen so that we can all see it and hear it at the same time. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Or as the text reads, overcome the evil with the good. What we just read together, we've read the inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. And I pray today that these last admonitions, this list of 15, and as we move to toward the end of the list, that they will burn themselves in our hearts and minds. That we will live functionally as followers of Jesus Christ, real disciples, in a world that desperately needs to see a real Christian witness for Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm not going to rehearse where we've been with this. We have made some tracks. We've gotten down to number 7. We were there last week. Caring for the needs of saints and strangers. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I told you last week, that's a word, xenophilia. Xeno from the word stranger, philia for love. Show stranger love. Jesus would say in Matthew 25:35, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." We have that opportunity, I'll remind you, on the 17th, to offer food to those who are hungry, to offer drink to those who are thirsty, to do exactly what Jesus said looks like followers of Christ do, meeting the temporal needs of others. John rebukes us. He says, if you see someone in need, don't say to him, "Go in peace, be warm and filled." He says, how can the love of Christ dwell in a person like that? If it's within your power to do so, meet others' needs. Do good to all people, the Scripture says, especially those of the household of faith. And so this is an admonition to call us caring for the needs of saints and strangers. And then number 8, be a blessing to others. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That's easier said than done, but it must be done. It must be done. Jesus is our example here. Who, like a lamb before his shearers, was silent. He did not speak a word. He did not curse those who were his tormentors. Rather, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. God, give us such tenderness to people who oppose him, to oppose us because we stand for him. Let's remember, except for the grace of God, we would be just like those who rejected. In fact, we were like those who rejected until he came into our lives and showed us the beauty of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ. So be patient. This to be our posture. God, forgive me when I've not blessed those who curse him. Forgive me when I've not blessed those who curse me. We need to be able to bear the reproach. There's a reason why, and I'll show you here in a few minutes. Number 9, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Both are challenges. We have to guard jealousy. Someone comes in and tells us about a wonderful providence they've had. Perhaps they've come into a financial windfall. Perhaps a car, furnishings. I was pastor of a church that was formed out of a church where the elders were repressive. So much so that the story was told to me that the members did not like to talk to one another about when they got new furniture, because they were concerned with the elders. The elders would imply that that was very worldly, what that money could have been given to rather than furniture. That's awful. That's awful. Let's learn to rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's thank God for His goodness. Whether we're talking about another believer in the congregation, well, I thank the Lord that He's blessed you with that. And not silently or under our breath say, I don't know why He hadn't blessed me with that. Slay that. Slay that. Or whether it's someone outside the church. Paul says in Romans here, it's the goodness, the kindness of God that's designed to lead you to repentance. When we know the Lord has blessed somebody, we ought to pray, dear God, if that person is not in Christ, I pray that this kindness shown to them by you will lead them to repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And then we ought to look to do good, to show mercy, to be kind. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. This is a vale of tears we live in. And the enemy of our souls would love for you to isolate yourself and to insulate yourself. Let's not do that. Some of you, unwittingly, through the years, have built up brick walls around you so that you can't be touched and you can't be hurt by somebody. Tear them down. Tear them down. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that we were just talking about around the Lord's Supper, stooped with a towel and wash basin in His hands. It was the posture of the lowest slave in the house. Only the lowliest slaves washed feet. And there He was, their rabbi, washing their feet. Be vulnerable. You cannot reach people for the gospel if you've built walls around yourself. They have to climb over your walls to get to you to hear the gospel. Tear them down. Tear them down. Be like the Lord. Humble, lowly. Job said, do I not weep for him whose day was hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? Be vulnerable. Grieve. Paul taught the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. By the way, let me say, how blessed Karen and I have been as several of you have come by and brought us meals. What a token of kindness. I don't know if you know how much that means. There are all sorts of ramifications for it. Karen not being able to cook, our eating options would have been radically different. If it had left up to me, you know, you can only heat so many things up so many times. You can only go the box of chicken pot pies at Sam's. Those are good initially, but not every meal. Thank you. Thank you. You were doing this. You were doing this. You were blessing to us. She was suffering. And you didn't say, well, I'm glad that's not me. No, you entered into that, just as you're entering into the suffering with faith. Just as, by the way, if I may stop and boast about a congregation that I get the privilege of serving and love so much, you are, by and large, pound for pound, one of the most tender, compassionate, sympathetic, empathetic people I know anything about. And I thank God for that. Never lose that. Never lose that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Enter into their sufferings with them. Hebrews 13:3, we referenced it a while ago. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. When one member suffers, we all suffer. I don't know what your visceral reaction is every week when we read through the 50 countries. In mind when we started doing that 10 years ago. But even to this day, when I read about the country of the week, and when we have the videos that we watch, it breaks my heart. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ who are being mistreated. Enter into their sufferings with them, brothers and sisters. Don't ever become impervious. Don't insulate and isolate yourself. If the Lord Jesus tarries long enough, they will be praying for us. You cannot see what's happening in this culture and think that somehow we're immune from persecution. The things I preach from this pulpit are hate speech to the powers and the authorities. I know that. I'm not proud of that. I just fear God in heaven more than I fear man. It's hate speech. And I know that. I don't invite difficulty and persecution, but I'm not naive. When you read that pro-life advocates are being arrested in their home, I'm an abolitionist, for crying out loud. I'm a threat not only to the pro-abortion crowd, I'm a threat to the pro-life crowd. Brothers and sisters, prepare. As the pastor Samuel Lamb in China said to me years ago, the Christians in America must develop a mindset to suffer. And that is more true now than it's ever been. Number 10, live in harmony through humility. Live in harmony with one another. Let's get along. You know, there are too many churches, and it happens in business meetings a lot. And I thank God that here we have sweet congregational meetings when we have them. They're sweet. But it wasn't sweet in Pleasant Gardens a couple of Sundays ago. People shouting at one another, sit down. Don't say that. Somebody said, well, Pastor Ethan preaches the gospel. No, he doesn't. Hollering out like that. Live in harmony. Get along with one another. Determine, if you haven't ever done it, determine. The tie that binds here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you've been saved by grace, I've been saved by grace, whatever differences we may have other than that, the tie that binds is greater than the differences we have. Let that be true. That's the primary. Make the main thing the main thing. Live in harmony. Do not be haughty. That's how you live it. The moment I start esteeming myself highly is the moment I open the door to controversy. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. The moment I think I'm too good to rub elbows with the homeless, I've opened the door. I've opened the door to controversy. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Thank God if He's taught you the truth, but always remember where it came from. The Apostle Paul said, what do you have that you've not received? God's the one who gives. And thank the Lord for that. And then guard that jealously. Never become high-minded about it. Number 11, avoid a vengeful spirit. And he's going to get into the series here on vengeance. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. No one. How often can I repay evil for evil? One time, zero. Repay no one evil for evil. You've seen the bumper sticker. I don't get mad. I get even. That's a devilish attitude. Repay no one evil for evil, but rather give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Isn't it interesting? What happens when we want to get back? What are we operating with? Is that the best our mind can bring? No, that's emotional. That's why the scripture says, give thought. Be thoughtful. You know how much controversy would be reduced if we thought first? Rather than emoted first. That's why we, Romans 12, beginning of this chapter. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ours is a Christianity that is thoughtful. Ours is the Christianity that engages objective truth that's supposed to influence us and shape us. And as we were looking in Bible study this morning, lead us as a light into our path, a lamp into our feet. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If they're going to charge you and me, let them charge us with the crime of being a Christian, not of defaming the name of Jesus. Number 12, strive to live a peaceful life. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, the persons we've been talking about for 50 weeks around the world will say, you can't do it in North Korea, if possible. If you're not living peaceably with others, it better be because of them, not of you. Through the years, it's broken my heart when someone says, oh yeah, I know so-and-so. They're mean. They're members of your church, aren't they? Now, I've been called mean. And to the extent that it fits me, I've repented of that. If possible, so far as it depends on you. You can't control how anybody else acts, thinks, lives. You can't do it. But you know what? You can control those few square inches of space that you occupy. You can control that. Self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the growing in grace. If possible. Make that your goal. That doesn't mean you surrender the truth. It doesn't mean that you give open to error. Oh well, let's just live and let live. That's not what he's talking about. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's how Paul ends 1 Corinthians 15. But in doing that, so far as is possible, live at peace. Be a peacemaker, as we read in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Number 13, do not be wrathful, beloved. So he hasn't left this notion of repaying evil for evil. Beloved, do not or never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Leave room for God's wrath. Never avenge. I'm going to make you regret that. I'm going to make you pay. Folks, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our song is Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Owe no man anything except the continuing debt to love one another. That's how Christians live. And when we live that differently, it's so different from our culture that folks will stand up and take notice, and as Peter suggested, they will ask us for a reason for the hope that we have in us. That do not avenge yourselves, vengeance is mine, comes from Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. Leave that to the Lord. Psalm 94 calls God the God of vengeance, the Lord of vengeance. Shine forth. Hebrews 10:30 warns, we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge His people. Leave that to God. You know, a vengeful spirit is like a cancer that eats you alive. Forgive others as you have been forgiven by God. If God only forgave you a little thimble drop, then just forgive it. But you know better than that. He's forgiven you a debt you never could have paid. Do not hold a debt over a person who's wronged you. Don't do it. It eats you alive. And it is a poor representation of the grace of God in the gospel shown to us. Rather, number 14, be merciful and compassionate. So it's not just don't repay evil for evil, don't avenge yourselves, but do this. Do this. I would challenge you and me, if you struggle with a vengeful spirit, consciously substitute this for that. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. The Proverbs teaches, chapter 25, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you'll heap burning coals on his head. And the Lord will reward you. That's where the statement comes from. It's drawn from the Proverbs. Jesus said in Luke 6, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. It's a very different standard than the Jews had under the Pharisees. Love your enemies. This is the Jesus who said to his followers, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he stressed it out even further, and love your enemies. I love you and you love me and we bless one another. Loving an enemy is challenging because they don't have anything they want to give us except grief. But in doing so, something happens. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. Now, some people run to this. This will torch them. You'll torch them. That's not what the picture is here. You will shame them. You've seen this. You've done this before. Probably somebody who was very angry with you, railing against you, and you began to use redemptive communication practice, and you disarmed them verbally. And they were shamed by it. Maybe even won by it. I've seen it happen many times through the years. Win them. Win them. Don't shame them, but do that which is kind and merciful and redemptive, and the Lord's Spirit will shame them. Many times through the years, I've seen someone who was an enemy of mine become my friend through this gospel practice. Your enemy's hungry? Feed him. Thirsty? Meet his thirst. He expects you to curse him. He expects you to call down thunder. Destroy him, Lord. Our Savior, hanging on the cross, beaten beyond recognition, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And finally, the summary of the whole matter. This is it. You're going to live functionally as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then you're going to have to fend off the temptation to be overcome by the evil. The evil there. What is the evil? It is the temptation to live like the world. It is the temptation to act like the world. It is the temptation to set aside what you know the Scripture teaches about how you should love one another and love God. Do not be overcome by those temptations that will take you down. You have threefold enemy: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world wants to find you stumbling and then point that out and mock you. The devil wants to take you down to hell. And the flesh is sin remaining in us, what Paul talked about in Romans 7, that remaining in me sin. Fight those enemies with gospel means, with the weapons of our warfare. Do not be overcome. You may be taken captive for a season. Paul talked to Timothy about that. Those who have been taken captive by the devil for a season. Don't become one of the captives. Fight the fight of faith. Do not be overcome by the evil. But overcome the evil with the good. What is the good here? The good is the practice of the gospel. These gospel applications, these 15 things that Paul has said, this is what functioning as a disciple looks like. This is a passage, by the way, that you ought to commit to memory. You ought to have them at the ready. When something happens to you, someone wrongs you, and the first response is, Well, I'm finished with him. That's not what that says, though, is it? Show them kindness. Show them the love of Christ. I'm reminded all the time. When people could have given up on me, when I was in my late teens, heading into my 20s, I could be obnoxious. I know somebody said, you could be. Well, it's a remaining sin, I feel bad, but I could really be obnoxious. They didn't give up on me. Kept praying for me. Kept loving on me. Kept showing me what the love of Jesus Christ looks like in flesh. And by God's grace, through the witness and ministry of others to me, I was not overcome by the evil. Now, folks, if it wasn't possible, the Apostle Paul would not write it here. He would have said, aren't you glad that when you're saved, you can be overcome by the good and you never have to worry about being overcome by the evil? That's not what he says. He challenges us, do not let that happen to you. And if you're not daily repenting to God of sinful attitudes and daily repenting to others whom you have sinned against, welling up within you is a bitter weed of resentment that will open the door for you to be, in certain portions of your life, overcome by the evil. Don't do it. Overcome the evil with the good, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So let's fight the fight of faith. Let's function as disciples, as Christ followers, in a world that desperately needs him, but increasingly hates him. Hates his standards. God haters. They hate God. They hate his word. They hate his son. And they hate his church. But we must not respond hatefully to that. We must respond in love. I pray the Lord will help me and help you to live these ways. Because I promise you, this is life-changing for you and life-changing for those around you. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the text today, O God. I confess, it's easy to read. It's easy to preach. Oh, dear God, give grace that we would live this, that we would live it out boldly, that these things that we're called upon to crucify, that we would crucify them, put them to death. These things that we're called upon to nurture, that we would pour the oil of grace upon them, that they would flourish. Help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Help us to be more conformed to his image. Help us to love those who do not love us. Help us to bless those who think we're strange. Father, we pray that you'll use our lives as light in a darkness. And that others who right now are content to live in the darkness will be rescued from that by your grace and for your glory. And for this we'll give you the praise and the honor due to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.